Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy and Andy Friday.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, everybody. So, I was thinking about this the other day. I was reading, and that made me think about the emotional energy, you know, and a lot of the burnout sessions I do, I talk about, you know, we all have this reserve of emotional energy that we have to keep topped up. Because as caregivers out in the world, we're constantly being asked to give that away. And we're dumping some out to the kids in our care and some out to their families, extended families, and sharing a little bit with our coworkers and trying to keep a little bit in reserve to bring home to our families. And then because caregivers are caregivers, they're getting asked to share their emotional energy with the community, whether it's making cookies and volunteering at the bake sale or coaching the five-year-old soccer team or working in the church nursery on Sunday mornings. Because you're so good with the kids and that kind of stuff. And we're living in a world where everybody wants our emotional energy. And I've been finding doing more online sessions. Now, for me, live in-person sessions, incredibly emotional draining. I don't know how you feel, Lisa, but after a day of talking, you just feel spent because you put it all out there. And I've been finding the same thing with the online stuff, because there's that urge to connect through the screen when everybody is maybe in their little rectangle box, or even worse, you've got the empty box of just staring into the void. And I've been finding that takes that's as draining, if not a little bit more draining than the online thing. So I was wondering if we could talk about the emotional energy in this new virtual world a lot of us are finding ourselves spending more time in.
Backtracking. So I was really always very hesitant, and Jeff knows this, of doing a bunch of online stuff, just because I kind of drank that Kool-Aid of thinking, oh my God, it's going to be so impersonal and there won't be that connection and you won't be able to read their body language, blah, 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 blah. And for what it's worth, you know, to be 100% transparent, I wasn't really at a point where I needed to, you know, it wasn't like I was getting all of these requests to do it. And I was just like philosophically being like, I don't agree with that. I'm not doing it. It really wasn't anything I really had to consider until March 13th. Right. And when all of us had to kind of quickly do that pivot and realize that this wasn't necessarily something extra or extracurricular offering, but this was going to become the offering. I didn't know what it was going to be like. And so, you know, you just kind of jump in and it was kind of raw and clumsy and we figured it out and it's working. I've learned though, as the months have gone on, that there's a limit. You know, I think at first I got a little like a bull in a china shop. I'm like, I got to keep scheduling all these things. And, you know, so people know I'm still here. I mean, I think honestly, if I'm very honest, that was what was fueling this kind of manic sense of having to create content just so people knew that I was still out there doing it. You know, there was an element of maybe people weren't coming, like, hold on, how am I going to say this? So like, I would be on the Facebook page and be like, hey, going to the airport. Oh, here, going to here. So there was, even though people reading it, they weren't going to be at that gig, they knew that somebody was out there, right? I would be posting the pictures and this is what we did, da da da, the wicked big selfies. And so there was this constant, like always the little like plopping of the water in the bucket of, oh, she's still out there. She's still talking. She's still doing stuff. She's still moving. She's still shaking this, da, 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 da. And I just felt like because I wasn't out there on the roads, and that it's like, and then I kind of like what you were talking about last episode, Annie, where it swung to the opposite of with the kids that are new and they don't know what that play thing feels like. I think because the whole online thing was new for me, I did the same thing. I like went all the way to the end. And then I've slowly over the last couple of months been like, okay, let's get a realistic handle on this. To Jeff's thing about the emotional energy. I mean, that's, to me, that's the spoons. You know, every morning when I wake up, I got a bunch of spoons in my pocket, and going to the grocery store takes a spoon, and, you know, getting gas and waiting in line takes two spoons. And if you're not mindful about how you're spending your spoons, you end up using spoons on shit that really doesn't matter. And then when you really need a spoon, you know, you're all out. And I think that's the point I hit last week, was like, okay, it's time to really kind of rethink going into 2021. This isn't going to just be a phase. You know, virtual online stuff is going to be how my message, at least for right now, gets out there. So how can you still do that without like going overboard?
Annie, thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, this kind of reminds me, Teacher Tom had a blog post out this week that talked about, you know, with online learning, trying to just do the same thing, but online. And when you do it like that, it doesn't work, right? Like you're just spinning your wheels because it is different. And when you're in person, whether it's, you know, a speaking gig or a teaching gig, you get the feedback in different ways. And so, yes, it's not that it's totally devoid of that when you're doing it online. You still get some, especially if you're doing Zoom, you get some body language, you get some of that, the nonverbal cues that we get in person, but you don't get the same exact give and take that you do in person. And so you have to kind of rethink it all, right? Like it's not exactly the same thing. It's a different beast and it takes a different amount of energy. And yeah, that whole, like, I gotta be out there. And I had that when we moved across the country. I had our second kid, like all of a sudden I went from being the director of a school and doing constant professional development with, other teachers, and all of a sudden I was like home with these two infants. Like, I don't have a lot more I want to be out there. I want people to know I'm still here, and I'm going to race to put together this content. And it doesn't feel good when you're just doing it to do it. But yeah, the virtual thing, it's totally different. And even the in-person gigs right now, like with masks on and being in a room with kids with masks on, it's emotionally draining in ways that, you know, it wasn't before. I have to work that much harder with my body language and my eyes. And I feel like I'm shouting sometimes just reading a story because the tone has to come across. And there's so many things that go into reading a story rather than just the words coming out of your mouth, right?
I think the pivot has, I by no means would say that I have kind of mastered the whole online switcheroo, so to speak, but I've definitely figured out what works for me and for my style. And to speak to kind of the unexpected silver lining of all of it is I have done so many, I've been calling it, my word for it is a series. So now I'm doing series sessions. So with the same group, but for five times, and some groups are doing it every week, some groups are doing it every other week, some groups are doing it once a month. But there has been a sense of community that, I'll be honest, you didn't get that kind of implementation, that kind of follow-up. And financially, let's just be honest there, groups aren't going to be able to afford to bring me back five times in a row monthly. And to know that this, the online platform, has made it financially feasible for me to connect with way more groups than possible, to go into areas that I wasn't able. And I think, and Jeff and I have spoken about this before, so I don't want to sound like I'm putting words in his mouth, but one of the things as presenters, Annie, probably you as well, that we struggle with is that implementation. All three of us can get everybody riled up on a Saturday in a ballroom, but we really don't know, unless there's an intentional kind of reconnection of follow-up and, you know, regrouping. It is often, although it's not our preference, it's a one-hit wonder. And it's exciting and it's fun. But what really happens 10 days from now? What did happen? Where were the stumbling blocks? Where are the successes? And the reality is that I've been able to get that kind of feedback, and I think be of more service, quite honestly, to be there as a touch point, not just once a year. But I mean, I had one group that just ended up in, it was in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We've done 5 months together. And the last one was Wednesday night. And I was like, I'm going to miss you guys. Like, I feel like I know you guys. Like, we've been able, even with 100-some-odd people on the Zoom, you kind of learn what everybody was really feeling good about, one of the things they still needed clarified. And you know, I have really appreciated that. And I never would have anticipated that as such a positive byproduct of the online.
Do you find, excuse me, I forgot to stop breathing while I was trying to inhale while I was talking for some reason. I forgot how lungs work. Do you find that after those sessions, when you're working at, do you feel the emotional drainage and you got to recharge after that? Or
Well, I get more of an elevated kind of like marathon high.
Sure.
I think at a live gig, it had an outlet because I'd be packing up, you know, I'd be reloading the car and then I'd get to the hotel and you'd eat and then it would be over. But now, you know, like with the time zone, like I'm on Florida time. So I do stuff for Vancouver and they start at 6:30 their time. Like I'm going to work at 9:30 at night, doing a 2-hour gig till 11:30. And then I'm like up until 2 a.m. just because, you know, I don't have an outlet for, I think the excitement and the ramping up, so to speak. So I think the emotional piece with my time clock is off. You know, but that's, to me right now, that's just par for the course. You know, it's, you know, I'm an early bird. I'd rather be asleep at 8:30 at night myself, but you know, that's where the work is right now. And so you do what you have to do. I have noticed though that I can't do more than 3 in a day, which probably is pretty like, well, yeah, but it is a different kind of energy pull after 3. Like I had 4 scheduled one time. And after the fourth one, I mean, they didn't know, but I closed my laptop and I went in the other room and I literally like had this like, bah! You know, just like this, ah, and Pablo's like, so 4 is going to be the max. I'm like, yeah, I think 4 is going to be the max. And so I've opted now to keep it at 3, but so that's, it's working.
Good.
Zoom rage.
Zoom rage. Yeah. Who knew? I got Zoom butt going. That's what I got going. Zoom butt.
I've noticed the same things. The things that drain me with humans in real life, there are versions of those same things that do it online. Because a lot of the stuff I've been doing is like self-hosted. So I'm running the certificates and all that kind of stuff, which means you have to deal with people who don't know how to technology. And so did a thing the other day.
You can't delegate it. Like you can't just say you need to call the coordinator in order to figure that out.
Because with those sessions, I'm not in that loop. And so my whole thing has been building the system that is as foolproof as possible and easy to use as possible. And so the whole thing is finish a session. I paste a link into the chat box for an evaluation. You fill out the evaluation, your certificate is generated for you and shows up in your inbox. Now for 98.5% of people that works really smooth and real easily. But with a recent thing, it was a 2-part session. So you had to do this 2 times to get the individual certificates in case you couldn't make it to both sessions. And one woman filled out the evaluation 8 times because she didn't feel it was working right. And then when multiple certificates showed up, she didn't know how to PDF. and is messaging me wondering how do you print that? And I'm like, that's it's a little bit beyond my pay grade to explain your technology to you, but I can tell by your email address that you work at a hospital where I'm guessing somebody is in charge of IT that you could probably reach out to. And she's like, oh yeah. So
the IT guy's like, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But that's a headache he's paid for. And so that kind of stuff, it's people who can't manage their shit. Is that what annoys me and drains me? I don't know.
But I mean, I think that's par for the course.
That's pretty much draining for everybody, but
I think you're supposed to tell those people to call their grandkids. Have your grandkids walk you through this.
But my whole interaction was I'm so grouchy that my thought is who would want to procreate with her? So I just assumed she didn't have any grandkids.
Oh gosh. I'm going to go back to Lisa's point about the feedback you get when you get to work with people in a series, because you probably in some way are honing your craft and your messages a little bit, like finding out, like, if you say something that doesn't hit home to somebody, you actually get to hear about it. Like,
yeah,
you said this and I tried this, but it didn't work like you said it would. And being like, oh yeah, because you have to do it this way. Or, you know, I know you're very careful in your messaging in conferences when I've seen you and heard you speak. It's always like, you can't just go back in and jump on all of this stuff. But so many of us still try to do that, or we let it sit there in a notebook for a few years before we actually can circle back to it. So it must be kind of cool to have that real time feedback.
It is. And I think it's to put the same kind of language you just said, but also on to the person, the recipients of it, like, because they know they're going to see me in 2 weeks, I think there might be a little bit of self, I don't like the word accountability, but like more willingness to try it, or, you know, and also what we know about people, that you got to hear stuff multiple times even before it sinks in, or, you know, it's been the fifth session and somebody emails and says, oh my God, that one point you made. But then I'm going, I know I've said that every single time, you know, 'cause it's just one of the things that I say, and now I'm glad you heard it. And like, wow, like, how awesome for the kids in that program, for her colleagues, for her coworkers, you know, that it was, it's kind of like a fast forward, not a fast forward, but like a accelerated way of really trying to figure out the core of the message and what that looks like when you actually bring it back to the classroom. And I've really, really liked doing that. And what I love is that there's so much positive feedback that almost every single group that's done a series, on the last night, they kind of surprise all of the participants. And they're like, and we're going to do it in the spring if she wants to come back. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, woo. And the chat blows up with all the smileys and the exclamation points and the hearts. And, you know, and so I also think, and this might be a little ego-y, but it's that feedback. What I'm out there saying is still message. It's still relevant, real and meaningful. And that's always been, I mean, that's been at the heart of my message, is making sure on a regular basis through the year that we stop and recalibrate. I mean, we used to do it really, really, like, seriously. Like, we would take a week in July and a week in December, and it was almost like we did a retreat, a staff retreat. What do we still believe in? What have we gotten in the habit of saying we believed in? But what do we really still, what is at the core of the message? Does anything in the mission statement, the goals, the objectives, does anything need to be tweaked based on what we've learned this year? You know, what's outdated dogma that it's time to get rid of? You know, what's just stuff we've said that's been on repeat that needs to be shelved for a while? You know, what did we shelve that it's time to come back again? And why are we deciding to do that? And I think I've had more opportunity this year because of COVID to do that kind of reflecting on a more regular basis, not just waiting until July and December. And I think that's what kind of circled back to this initial conversation that Jeff is calling that emotional energy is, you know,
a big hunk of it helps keep things fresh.
Yeah.
And keeps you charged up, keeps you from becoming, I mean, if you feel like you're just going out there and doing the same thing over and over again, it starts feeling stale to you. You don't put your full self into it. You don't put that energy into it. And so that that time you took off in the real world was to refresh and recharge. And now you're getting to do it a little bit more in real time with the online side of things.
And I'm finding that actually with the real time, with the online, with the Zooming, like I have the outline, but I'm finding that there's actually more opportunity for riffing and improvising and going off on tangents. And I'm curious, I'm not overthinking it, but I'm like, huh, you know, like I would do that at a live gig if I felt it needed to happen. But I almost think it's because a lot of the Zooms have a lot smaller. They're a lot more intimate that we're really able to take it where the group needs it to go. I think there's something about the interface of Zoom that makes people feel a little bit more inclined to jump in than maybe they were when we're sitting in an auditorium or a theater or a ballroom at a convention center. And I've really liked that. I mean, I've re-released workshops. I've written new workshops. I never thought that was going to end up happening this year, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of a learning curve for participants too. I found that there's a lot more videos turned on now than there were 6 months ago, 8 months ago. I mean, I've been doing the online stuff for quite a while. A year and a half ago, more people are comfortable with the platform. And so they're turning on the video and speaking up and engaging than were prior to this, because it's become a tool that more people are using on a regular basis. I mean, like everything else, you get comfortable with it.
Totally. Yeah.
And I found I'm doing a little bit that I wasn't expecting, doing a little bit more one-on-one consulting type stuff. Like you talked about this thing in the session, now show up with me and my crew for X amount of time and help us put this into action. So that's kind of a thing.
Like little spokes, like unexpected things pop up after them, you know, like you couldn't have put a menu together in March of like, these are all the new things that I'm going to be providing now because of the pandemic. But since March, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, that's cool. You know, and because it's all online, like there's an ability to say yes to a lot more requests, if that makes sense. You know, like the group that only has four staff, or the mom who wants me to read five books to the kids at the birthday party. You're like, I couldn't have done that before. You know,
time out. You're doing birthday parties now, Lisa Murphy?
Yeah, that's awesome. Come on. Well,
did I plan on it? No, but you want me to read to your kid for a birthday? Sure. I mean, Mother's Day, didn't I tell you that? For Mother's Day, I had people call me and book me to share an hour on Zoom with their moms.
Aww.
Like I was their present. That was so cool.
That is so cool.
Did you pop out of a cake or wear a bow or anything?
yeah, there was nothing on the screen that I said, surprise!
The big red nose.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. And you're like, yeah, sure, I could do that, right? It's not like I have to get on a plane and, you know, charge you like a shit ton of money to compensate me for all those expenses, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to stack up four gigs in the West Michigan area. You can go from West Michigan to Vancouver, Canada in an hour.
In a day. Yeah, I've enjoyed that. That, I mean, it's no substitute for being in an airport, but, you know, I'm a little sick when it comes to the level of pleasure I get out of being on an airplane.
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird, that pleasure that you get from being trapped in a tin can, an aluminum can of people in there
at 40,000 feet.
Yeah. Any more on this topic before we wrap up this episode?
I have to say that it's interesting to think about in the context of children too, since our kids also are doing so much more online learning, like really giving thought to what that looks like for them and their emotional energy, because we're asking kids who are too young to be doing it to do it. And then there's some ways that it can be really awesome and liberating for kids also, especially big kids. Like talk about self-directed learning. You can pick and choose your content so much more. And just like, you know, you're talking about adults being able to do that and picking and choosing and having more access to somebody like Lisa Murphy. I'm sure that there are kids out there who are also finding more access to things that they want to learn about, because mm-hmm. you know, go on YouTube, there's a tutorial for everything, and that is okay to be considered learning, where maybe last year it wasn't learning or education if you were just watching a YouTube tutorial.
Yes.
I agree. No,
I totally agree. I think more so though for middle school and up, I really still don't like the online stuff for the younger humans. I think the older you are, the better the online platform is. Cause I think it's great for adult learning, because adults totally learn different than 3-year-olds. And so I think
we also know how to turn it off. I mean, at least in theory, you know, we know.
And it's optional. Like, I think most of our kids right now, it's more coercive than ever, right? You have to be on, you have to have your computer, your camera on, you have to sit there and be still. And why, you know, like I'm hearing from other people whose teachers are saying things like, Sally, you can't Zoom from bed. That's not appropriate. Like, why not? She's home. She's listening. She's in bed. She's comfy. Like, leave her alone.
She's probably more present, literally.
Right? I mean, but I'm talking about the kids who can actually more pick and choose the content, not necessarily the kids who are forced to sit on Zoom for 4 hours a day.
Absolutely.
And then we wonder why they're like going crazy and their sleep cycles are all messed up. But that's another workshop.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.